Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next up, it's Subconscious Evolution with the amazing Elma Rivera, all the way from South Africa. She is a subconscious clearing powerhouse using Psych-K, the system that Dr. Bruce Lipton told us about for many years on News for the Soul. She's here to help you with that. Let's get her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Elma, welcome back.
Hello, Nicole. It's lovely to be back. Hello, everybody else. I actually wanted to speak tonight because, you know, there's so much happening in the world, and I think there's so many people looking at their spiritual life and their own spirituality. And we've spoken quite a bit about what Psych-K can do in general life, and it still can do amazing things. But what I'd like to focus on tonight is how it can be used as a ascension or acceleration tool for our spiritual or our own spiritual development. And if people want to call in and ask what they can do or how they can be or how it could help and what they specifically are struggling with, they are more than welcome to do so. And then just to start off, I was sitting here today and just waiting for the show, and there's a word that's been popping up a lot during the last, I don't know, how long is this whole madness been going on since March? I don't even know how many months that is, 6-7 months? I'm not sure. But there's a specific word that's been popping up, and I'm an Afrikaans person, so, you know, English is my second language, but it's a word that even though I've been mostly English in my whole life, I've never really thought about the word. I've never really heard it used. And the word is called sovereign and sovereignty. So I've been wondering what that is about. Also, what is being called from us through this time, you know, with all the craziness going on. And it was so interesting. I was sitting here quietly waiting for the show to start, and something just edged me on and said, go and get some books. I didn't know what books they were, and I got a book that I got as a gift, actually, from one of the people who came to do the Master Facilitation Workshop with me, and the book is called The Tao of Joy Every Day, and as I opened it up, this is what it says, the sovereign. Isn't that just beautiful? So here I've been wondering, I wonder how one could describe sovereignty and what sovereign means. And here it is. And I'm just going to quickly read a little bit about that, because I think that's where the show is going today. It is going to how do we step into our power as spiritual beings? How do we maintain ourselves, and how do we grow spiritually and humanly, because at the end of the day, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and we came here to be human. But we also came here to help Mother Gaia, which is Earth, and everybody else. We are all in this together to help this huge awakening. And part of the awakening is our sovereignty. So this is what the Tower of Joy Every Day says. It says, being the sovereign is an important concept in the Tao. It is referenced many times in the Tao Te Ching, I'm not speaking Chinese or anything, so it's a bit difficult. And it means having power over yourself, as well as being independent and self-sufficient. Think of yourself as the monarch of your internal state. The capabilities of your mind are your royal subjects, your loyal subjects. You have absolute authority over them. Governing them effectively is the goal of Tao cultivation. And just one more paragraph. Regardless of external circumstances, your control of the internal state is absolute. As events happen in life, you always have a choice in the meaning you assign to them. Wise governance means choosing the most empowering and energizing meaning to advance your spiritual growth. Isn't that just beautiful? And that is where we're standing today. Sorry, Kit, I want to hear what you say.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you've again tuned in to, since this started, that's the word that's coming up, word of the year, in mass consciousness. And it's not something to lightly breeze past. We need to get it on deep levels. And I'm wondering if you can read that again.
Sure. I hope my pronunciation is a little bit better this time. Actually, there's a little bit more. Should I just read a little bit more? Let's just hear that. So it says the Tao for today. If you find yourself feeling depressed, think about who rules your internal world. Who can it be if not you? You may be feeling depressed because you have neglected to wield your power to determine the meaning of a particular event. Perhaps a temporary defeat has caused you to blame yourself. Assert your right to rule as the sovereign. Rewrite the meaning of what the setback really means is that you have more work to do. Rally your loyal subjects into action, that is your mind and your beliefs, and your command, just listen to this, your command is your birthright. Your sovereignty is your birthright. That is what we came to do, to learn how to manage our internal works and systems. Do you want me to read that other bit, or is that enough?
That is beautiful and perfect, as always.
I'm always astounded by how beautifully divine intelligence steps in and just guides. And I think it's a lesson for all of us. And it never gets old for me, is the absolute glorious gratitude and trust one learns to build when you allow divine intelligence to move through you and with you. And it's something I actually wanted to talk about, again, about the sovereignty, but also about our own divinity. And I'm going to repeat this one line that I said a bit earlier, is we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So what does that mean? I don't know if anybody has heard of the book, The Sophia Code. That's also emerging. I don't know if you've heard about that, Nicole.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Have you heard about the book, The Sophia Code?
No.
It's something that's apparently been written around about 2016, but it's beautiful in the way that it describes who we really are. And how, in Christianity, it says that we were created in the image of God, right? And when I just read the beginning of this book, it actually speaks in a quantum physical way of exactly how divine we have been created. And since Psyche and Bruce Lipton and Rob Williams and Joe Dispenza and all of these people now lately are working with quantum physics and what it means and our own sovereignty in that. They're all talking about the DNA and the epigenetics and the genome and, you know, how we've been put together on a very micro, in a macro way. So what this book describes is for every DNA, which is made mostly from carbon, there is a divine crystal DNA just above every DNA strand we have in our bodies. Every genome that is made of, that we as humans are made of, has got a crystalline, Christ-like, divine intelligence counterpart in our bodies. It is so beautiful. We are literally living, walking, breathing divine intelligence, godlike beings. Exactly like many religions tell us, but we see it as, you know, then God must have two eyes and a nose and, you know, laugh out loud if he feels like it or she feels like it. But in the real sense of the word, we literally are built and made as divine spiritual beings. I think it is just so beautiful. So that was just something I wanted to share. And it says here that we have been conceived to be an omniscient, sovereign creator. And for that is what we are. We were birthed with an unconditional gift of our sovereign free will. See how this just pops up everywhere. It's just astounding. So what does that mean for us? You know, I don't know how things are going with you guys in Canada, and I don't know what's happening in the American continent. Here it's all fairly quiet, but I know the American elections are coming up. So I'm not quite sure how people are interpreting. I don't know how people are interpreting their sovereign rights. Do you have any idea?
I mean, we're losing so many of them in perceptively, right? That's why this is the word of the year. It's not something that's come up a lot prior to 2020, but now it's the topic of the day, every day, for those waking up.
So, yeah, there's something else that came to me today, and it said, for everything you fight to hold on, you will lose. In other words, that the perception of the loss of the sovereignty is all external factors. But if we go back to what the Tower of Joy says to us today, it says, regardless of external circumstances, your control of the internal state is absolute. As events happen in life, you always have a choice in the meaning you assign to them. So let's just stop there for a while. So that means when people feel they are losing their sovereignty, it means that they're giving the external things that's going on a hell of a lot of power. And I think at the end of the day, we are called to almost be, let me put it this way. We are called to be the very divine beings that we are, and we have the power to almost look at the external world, and we have a choice. And this is sovereignty, is we have a choice. Are we going to buy in to what's going on and the so-called reality on the outside, or do we understand and begin to learn that our sovereign power sits within us? Much easier said than done. And I really need our listeners to hear me in it. I'm saying this humbly. You know, I come from a country that has most probably got more violence pushed into it in a short lifetime than, you know, in many other places. As an ex-journalist, I was very much part of literally seeing people killed and shot and you know, working with some atrocious things. But again, and I think maybe that was during that time that I got to a place where I had to make a choice, where I could either completely buy into the external world that was going on around me, or I could move internally and start finding the places where I could control what I was choosing to see and think and believe. So please hear me when I speak from great humility that it is incredibly difficult when scary stuff is happening on the outside to find the divine within. But this is exactly what we are asked to do. Every single one of us have signed up, every single one of us breathing a breath on our earth today has signed up in a divine way to help this planet and its people to ascend and to take their inner sovereignty. Because when you have inner sovereignty, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody. You know, I think I listened to some of the Jewish people that were in the concentration camps, and those that made it out, almost 100% of them will say the same thing. That nothing the people could do to them could take away their internal hope and sovereignty. And that is what made them survive. That is what gets people through stuff. And that is what we have, every single one of us. If you feel you don't have it, then you're choosing to not have it. I don't know, does that make sense?
It does. Are you able to kind of articulate what steps you went through to find yours in the midst of all of that you were going through?
I think for me at that time, it was more self-preservation than anything else, because I had to try and make sense of the world around me, you know, and I'm sorry if they are sensitive viewers, but I'm just going to speak it as it is. You know, when you walk into an orphanage and there's a 3-month-old baby whose mom has sold it to various people, and it will never ever have a normal life because it will have a stomach bag because it was so damaged inside, and you hold that child, you have to find a way to make sense of all of it, you know. And I think many people are looking at the outside world and going, this does not make sense. Mm-hmm. And when we begin to understand that our brain wants to make sense, that is what our brain wants to do. But our brain and our conscious mind is what makes, you know, the brain is just the computer of the conscious mind, okay? The brain is just the processor, if we want to call it that, of the conscious and the subconscious mind, actually. So the conscious mind wants to make sense of everything. But that's not where the power lies. The power lies in us stepping into and understanding that nothing happens without a reason. You can get to a place where I'm trying to think what I did during that time. Oh, I know what I did. It was the only way that I could deal with it. I looked at that little baby, and I could have fallen apart, and I could have, you know, there was a lot of could-haves, and I didn't. Because what I did is I, in that moment, through the divine grace, that's all I can call it, it was divine grace, my perception changed when I looked at that baby. And I, all of a sudden, saw the soul. And something in me understood on such a deep, profound level that soul, and guys, please, it's just my perception, okay? In that moment, I got such respect for the choices that soul made coming into this brutal world. In a way, I think what helped me in that process was that we do have free will. We don't just have free will on Earth, we have free will as souls. We have free will coming into this life. What we can come to do, what we can come and learn. Because at the end of the day, all experiences leads us to just be more divine. You know, that was the ultimate, in my mind, the ultimate reason why we're here, is to learn more and more and more and become more divine so that we can be godlike, right? So that we can unearth, even though I'm talking about unearthly, you know, not other earthly stuff, but we can unearth our own divinity. And from then onwards, whenever I saw suffering, I was almost brought to my knees from, you know, just awe-ness, in being in awe of souls who chooses to go through such pain for their own divine purposes, if we want to call it that. And obviously that's not a conscious decision. That is a soul decision, you know. And that's just my belief, you know. It doesn't, if you don't resonate with it, it's absolutely fine. But that was my way of being able to deal with it. What it did for me is it helped me to continue doing my work, to continue spreading whatever the news was, because I was always trying to find a good angle. I always tried to find the goodness of something. Because that is what life for me is about, is to learn and integrate and not lose my sovereignty. I have decided, it's about 30 years ago, I think. Oh, goodness, it's more 36 years ago, 36, 35 years ago. I decided that I will not let the world take away my inner power, no matter what I saw, no matter what I experienced. You know, as a young girl, I was date raped many times. I can't even count how many times I was date raped as a young woman, and, you know, in the 80s. And I just had to get to a point where I said, this is your responsibility. And this is what we talk about, radical responsibility. This is my responsibility. You know, it doesn't mean I am not going to step into this and say I'm a victim of this. And I had to work very hard to see how I contributed. What was my beliefs? What were my beliefs, actually? And why certain things happened to me? Because at the end of the day, and that's something else that came across my path just today, is if we act because we have a fear, we will attract that fear. The more we want to move away from the fear, the more we will move towards it. There's a choice. There are two things. I'm just opening my phone here quickly because this is what I wanted to read to you guys today. It's another philosopher who spoke about fear and love. And this is our choice. Our choice is to, every day, in every moment, choose whether we're going to react from fear or whether we're going to react from love. When we work from a base of fear, we will attract an immense amount of fearful situations. We will also create fearful situations. So it is up to us in this world right now, with all that is happening, to consciously choose love, consciously choose where we want to be. I'm just quickly looking for the specific thing about fear. Just give me a second. It is just so beautiful. It is Michael Rhodes is a teacher, and he wrote this about fear. There's fear is more than just a program in the subconscious. It is very deeply embedded and ingrained into us. In the early days of this 200,000-year cycle, fear was needed for our survival from many of the ferocious wild animals. But this time has long passed. Our survival now depends on our ability to love, not fear. We are still living our past, and it does not work for us. It is true to say that our brains are wired for fear and survival, yet it is time to rewire our minds. And we can do this. We have to rewire our minds towards compassion and love. And this is the real awakening. It is not about what we believe. It is the great energy change that comes by shifting our consciousness from the low frequencies of fear to the high frequencies of love. People often say to me, he says, this is now him speaking, people often say to me that they are busy fighting their fears or overcoming them, but this does not work. Please be aware of this. Fear is not a deliberate conscious choice. It is always a subconscious reaction. In the conscious moment, fear does not exist. As unlikely as it may seem, you have to continually reimagine fear to keep it with you. I'm just going to read this again. We have to continually reimagine fear to keep it with us. In every moment, we have a choice, love or fear. Fear separates us from truth and life. Love connects with truth and life. Every time fear comes up in you, say to yourself, no, this does not honor me. I choose love. And he says, trust me on this. For as long as you fearfully react, you will keep on fearfully reacting. To honor yourself and the whole human consciousness, all you need to do constantly and consciously choose love. Isn't that just beautiful? So then we're back to sovereignty. We have a choice every single moment of every day. We have a choice every nanosecond of every day. So here's a tip that I can give people, and I work with that when people come to me for psyche and for reprogramming of their subconscious mind. I always ask them, and I'm asking our listeners now, if there's something happening in your life consistently, you know, whether you're in an abusive relationship or whether you're fearful of losing your job and then you do and you're continually losing your job, or you're continually in, you know, difficult situations or in poverty or whatever that is. There's a fear. And then there's also lots of feelings of I don't deserve, I'm not worthy, who the hell do I think I am, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that fear feeling, that fear trigger, normally before it gets hold of us, where we almost lose the ability to make a choice between love and fear, there's always a signal. And for most people, that signal sits in their bodies. So if I work with people who work with anger issues, they will say when I ask, and for everybody it's different. So somebody said to me the other day, I actually feel nauseous just before the anger hits me. Somebody else said, I get a pain on the right side of my, you know, of my body. Somebody else said, my heart aches. So
hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Elma's calling in all the way from South Africa. Hopefully her power didn't just go out. And we'll just wait for her to get back on the line momentarily and continue on with this riveting topic. She is, if you don't know, a Psyche practitioner. Psyche being the methodologies of clearing subconscious fears and beliefs that was introduced to us many times over the years by Dr. Bruce Lipton, Very powerful stuff. And as soon as we get her on, we'll continue.
Breathe. Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
From the heart of Vancouver, what a great place to bring News for the Soul.
I know, isn't it perfect? Remember that movie Dead Zone, Christopher Walken?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that for real.
I think reasonably accurate, too, honey.
Oh, that's an understatement, honey.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our hearts and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Well, Daniel just mentioned the heart attack. That is how he died, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
Actually, two heart attacks, right? One heart after the other.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Wow.
No, I had him. I have him.
You know, the whole thing about the spirituality and the wealth or sustainability not going together, I just think is the biggest load of crap.
I think we've got her back. Elma, are you back?
Back.
Oh, thank goodness.
I don't know where you lost me.
So you were talking about fear and then you went away.
Oh, did you not hear that whole thing that I read to you? Okay, let me just get that again. I got so entranced in trying to say the right thing that I didn't notice that I wasn't on air. Huge apologies to everybody. But this is what it is. Hey, airwaves, and we create amazing feats across many thousands of kilometers, but here we are. So did I manage to finish off with what this beautiful spiritual teacher said about fear?
I believe that's where you were, right, when it dropped.
I'm just going to read the last little bit of it, right? Just to find a thread back. I'm just going to read. Okay, I think I redid this and I'm going to do this again because one can always hear this line again. Please be aware of this. Fear is not a deliberate conscious choice. It is always a subconscious reaction. In other words, fear has been programmed into our subconscious. In the conscious moment, fear does not exist. As unlikely as it may seem, you have to continually reimagine fear to keep it with you. Okay? In every moment, you have a choice, love or fear. Fear separates us from truth and life, and love connects with truth and life. Every time fear comes up in you, say to yourself, no, this does not honor me. I choose love. Trust me on this, for as long as you fearfully react, you will keep on fearfully reacting. So to honor yourself and the whole human consciousness, all you need to do constantly and consciously choose love. So I'm not quite sure what I said after that, but anyway, we're going to have to just wing it because I was a little bit in a in a download mode. So, how do we choose love in the midst of some really bad stuff happening? You know, how do we choose love? I think it takes, it means that we have to be quite aware of where we are and what we're feeling on a moment-to-moment basis. And that is what we're required to do. And you know what? We can do it. Because I really mean this. And I hope everybody that hears this take heart in this. Every single human being on this planet, on this day, in this moment, is a divine human being, is divine has signed up to be at this time on this planet to help Mother Gaia, our planet, and all its people to ascend and to evolution, go through an evolution of consciousness. And that is what's happening. So it doesn't matter whether you are, you know, a beggar or a thief or whatever you are. I've actually also heard somebody else say every single one of us have chosen to go through pain in this lifetime, because I don't know of a single person that's never had a twitch anywhere. And the pain we carry is almost as a way to help Earth and its pain to transcend and ascend. I think what I'm trying to say to everybody is, if we come back to sovereignty, we have to know that we have it inside of us. That is where it sits. It doesn't sit in losing rights or anything. You know, I've lived in this country and I love this country with a passion, but we've been through so much that there were times when we didn't know whether we were going to wake up the next day and things were going to be not, you know, burned down to the ground. And it's in moments like this where we realize our sovereignty lies within us. It is our choice. We can give up our way, or we can internalize it and say, no matter what happens on the external, I am still in control of me. And I think that's about, you know, all we can do. So I want to speak a little bit about psyche, because everybody is going through this awakening. Everybody is going through this awakening. And I know some of you will say, yeah, but I have this neighbor and she just watches the sofas and chomps on her chips and, you know, doesn't have a care in the world and she doesn't even know what's going on. It doesn't matter. Her soul knows. Okay, so, something else I came across the other day, it was actually so beautiful, where people were talking about how being awake and awakeness and all of that has now become mainstream. And a lot of people are moving towards, you know, eating more organically and living more closer to nature and wearing a little bit more organic clothing or whatever. But the question after all of that was, is if you're spiritual and you naturally move into another life, you know, another way of being, but you judge the people that don't, you still have an ego problem. So no matter how sanctimonious we are, if we still judge the neighbor that sits and eats her chips because she watches her soaps and she doesn't know about being awakened, it doesn't matter. Her soul does. Let people be. No matter what they appear to be doing, their souls are on this journey as much as we are. So everybody is in this together. It's a very important thing to remember. So when we find ourselves judging others, then we know we've got an ego problem. We are not as awakened as we would like to believe. Now I've forgotten. Oh, yes, I want to speak about psyche. So there is this huge awakening that's happening. And psyche, I have discovered, being, you know, here by myself in this beautiful place where I'm at, I started experimenting with reprogramming my mind to be more spiritual, but to evolve and to grow. And we can do this with psyche. So with psyche, there's so much we can do. We can start, like I asked our listeners, what are you believing? You know, what did you hear me say that, Nicole? I don't know if I'm repeating myself. Did you hear me saying to people, what do you believe? Okay, so we're all there. That's fine. So, you know, psyche works with all those beliefs about poverty and relationships and jobs and, you know, whether you're good in what you do or whether you have confidence, whether you believe you're worthy or not worthy. We deal with all of that. Okay, so that's almost the psychological aspect of being a human. Now, Rob says, Rob Williams, who is the originator of psyche, he describes psyche as a psychological process with spiritual benefits. And that got me thinking, you know, because in psyche, we also say the only limitation is our imagination. So you can literally rewire your mind anything you want. Okay, if you're going to be getting up to mischief, you won't, you know, we work through the process of superconscious or divine intelligence. So if we don't get permission to do that rewiring, the whole process stops and you can try until you're blue in the face. It's just not going to happen. So psyche can also not be used for negativity. Okay. But it can be used for anything. And then I started thinking, okay, well, if it can be used for anything, I'm taking this time to really awaken and really transcend and ascend. So I started doing beautiful rewiring processes. I've got a couple here that I want to read to you. The one that I did was I resurrect with my body and soul. The other one I did was my thoughts support my resurrection and enlightenment, which is a very important thing, right? Because our thoughts literally govern our lives. The other one I did was I'm an extension of source and I am a positive, active part of it. So, guys, what I'm trying to say is get on your computers and find those beautiful, beautiful psycho facilitators all over the world that can help you. If you want to not just work with your psychological problems or your work problems or your poverty problems or your relationship problems or your self-esteem problems, you can literally start working to elevate your own spirituality. Now, here's the thing. It's a bit of a, I think it's a dichotomy. My Afrikaans language is in the way today. I'm having an Afrikaans day and not English day. So it's a bit of an opposite. Okay. So on the one hand, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, which means that we do tend to feel that we've got to spend a lot of time being spiritual, which actually is a little bit defeating the object because we came here to be human, right? You know, and it's also something to remember. So we, as spiritual beings, and especially people who are awakening and all that stuff and working towards it, almost we denounce our humanity. Guys, my spiritual teacher said to me a long time ago, she said, did you know, Alma, that there are millions of souls standing in lines waiting to be incarnated on Earth? Because Earth is the only place where you can experience being human. And with that go the pain and the suffering and the laughter and the sex and the birth and the food and the smells and the dancing and the joy and the heartache. It is the whole encompassing thing of being human. And so what do? We try and push being human away instead of embracing our humanity. That doesn't mean that we go into depravity as humans. If we know that we divine within our humanness, then we can work towards being the best divine humans we can be. Because that's what's needed right now, right?
Right now.
Right now. So I am urging everybody to get to any facilitator, and there are so many all over the world. You can literally go on to www.psyche.com and go to affiliated facilitators and just have a look. Everywhere. They are everywhere. And honestly, well, guys, if you need...
People could call in. What kinds of things can they ask you about?
They can ask me anything they want.
They can ask me how...
Sorry?
Let's narrow it down so they know why to call in.
So you can call in and ask me how psychic can help you and what you've got. I asked you earlier on, to think about what your possible negative beliefs could be. You know, so I asked you to look at what's happening in your life and how is it manifesting for you. So if you call in and you give me that, then maybe we can have a little solution for you in a very short time. So I am...
Well, I know we're getting really close to the top. We've got about 7 minutes, but let's see if we have a caller on. What the heck? Go with the flow today. Caller showing up as all ones. Did you have a quick question for Elma?
Sure. My name is Pamela. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hi, Pamela.
I have a... hi, how are you? I guess my problem with fear is relationships. So it's connected to relationships.
Fear and relationships.
Yes.
Okay. So are you not sure why you have it?
Right.
Okay. So I'm just going to ask you a quick couple of questions, Pam.
Sure.
Questions. Did you grow up in a place where you could observe relationships around you that looked fearful to a child?
No, actually, they were very loving and very long relationships. From my grandparents to my parents to my siblings, they were all in, you know, very loving relationships.
Okay. And as a teenager, were there anything that happened there for you that made relationships a little bit fearful?
I won't say it was fearful. I guess it was a little more in my 20s. You know, I was attracted to someone that I was truly head over heels with, but they didn't feel the same about me. So maybe that's part of it.
Okay, so when we say you're fearful of relationships, how does it manifest for you?
I have a fiancé. He tells me all the time he loves me. You know, he wants to get married before the new year. And sometimes I just don't feel the same. I'm just very cavalier about it. I'm like, okay, sure, we'll get married. So I just don't understand, you know, why that's happening. But I do care for him.
Okay. So I because this is an open line, I'm going to not get too deep into this. But,
okay.
I'm just going to ask you a quick question. With the loving relationships you observed, all right?
Yes.
Was there a possibility that you maybe saw a partner that was a little bit more invested than another?
I think in relationships, it's always one person gives more or feels more. It's never like 50-50. I think one person.
There's your belief, darling. Did you just hear what you said?
Yes, I did.
I believe in a relationship, it's never 50-50. So there's your belief, right?
Right.
So if you go off and you find yourself a psycho facilitator, and then you tell her that's your belief, what do you want? Let's quickly get there. What do you want? If your belief is that one always is more invested and gives more than the other, what is it that you would want in a relationship?
I think each one should give 100%.
Okay. So then you can do, they can help you and rewire your brain where you say, I truly believe or I have a relationship where each of us give 100%.
Okay.
It's as simple as that.
Oh, that's easy. Okay.
It is really that easy. Now you've just got to get yourself to facilitator. And I think there's a little bit more that you can unpack, all right? Maybe
right.
Around, because you fear. So there's a little bit more that you can unpack. But it's literally, that's how simple psyche works. So it's how are things now? How do you want things to be? Create the goal statement. Go through the balancing process that takes a couple of minutes and or maybe a couple of seconds, it depends, and there you have it. And then you just have to follow through with a bit of an action step and you start changing your life.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you.
Because Psyche has come to this earth so that we don't have to suffer anymore.
Nice.
Did that work for you?
That works. That's fine. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
All right,
bye.
Yeah, it was nice, short, and sweet, and to the point, and that was impressive digging in that brief time. So that's how it works, right? You dig, you find specifics, and then you rewire them.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you don't have to dig. I mean, we didn't even dig. I just asked some perceptive questions, you know. And so that's what the psychic facilitators do. They ask questions, and you get to the point, and you change it. It's literally like that. And so, again, this is what I want to say. Our only limitation is our imagination. We have to really begin to believe that we have the power to change our lives within ourselves. Okay. And I would urge people actually to not just find facilitators, but if you can, go and do the workshop, because that means, and this is because we need people, we need more people who can help more people, right? And it is important to go and do the workshop so that you learn how you can do this. So you can then take your sovereignty back and rewire yourself and all your fears and all your beliefs on a daily basis. I do every day. And you can then also extend the courtesy, and you can work with your family and your friends, and you can even run a practice after you've done the workshop. So what we want to do is to create as many psycho-facilitators in the world that can work in every community. Okay? And that is because that will help every single person to get their sovereignty back. There's nothing more empowering than knowing that you can change the way you believe in the subconscious way. Right?
So perfect note to do in our wrap up. We've got 2 minutes to the top, so wrap up and shameless self-promotion is what we've got time for, Elma. What have you got for us today?
Okay. You know what? You can connect with me. I would love, I can work, I don't have to work one-on-one. We can work through surrogation. You can connect with me through my email, which is Rivera, R-I-V for Victor, E-R-A. My name is Elma, E-L-M for Mary A. So it's RiveraElma@gmail.com. Or go to my website, I can't say the three W's. www.elmarivera.com. And the site is called Subconscious Evolution. Okay, so connect with me. I have clients all over the world that I deal with. And let's get together. Let's start rewiring those pesky little non-serving beliefs. And let's start changing our world through changing ourselves.
Elma Rivera, newsforthesoul.com. Always a pleasure and honor to share the air with you, Elma. We'll talk to you next time.
Pretty soon, me and you, right?
Yay! Excited. See you soon.
Bye. Bye.
All right. Elma's all linked up, newsforthesoul.com. We're back with more right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.